against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world.
Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?
We have a very special program today entitled The Miracle Called End Time. We're celebrating the 30th anniversary of the founding of End Time Ministries. It all began 1986. We started with nothing but a vision 30 years ago. Today, End Time Magazine is the most widely circulated prophecy magazine in the world. Our End of the Age television and radio program is heard around the world on many networks and on the internet. We now have the Jerusalem Prophecy College in downtown Jerusalem, which is also available to the entire world online. Joining me for this special program are some of the people that's made it happen. First of all, my son-in-law, Dave Robbins, that all of you know. In addition to that, his wife and my daughter, Jana Robbins. And last but certainly not least, my own bride of 51 years, This is my wife, Judy, and she's been with me every step of the way. We've seen miracle after miracle. It has been amazing. Now, we felt like you should share with the absolute miracles God has performed over the past 30 years here at End Time. Okay, Dave, Jana, Judy, let's just get started. We're going to tell the story today of what God has done. He's not done either.
No.
The best is yet to come. The most important is yet to come. But it has been amazing because it has truly been miraculous.
Right.
So Dave, sort of just take the lead here, and let's tell the story of what God has done at End Time Ministries.
You know, Dad, I cannot tell you how long it's been since I wanted to do this program. It's very special to my heart. I've seen so many miracles over the years. I've shared those stories with so many people, and it's really enriched my life. And I know I get calls from people all over the world how it's enriched their lives as well. And so to think of something miraculous, a miraculous event, a lot of people have never seen anything like that, but we live our lives in that world. And I know a lot of people love this ministry because of that fact. They know that you're true blue and that you've had miracles happen in your life. And they look forward to having something like that happen in their life as well someday. So in telling the story of End Time Ministries, let's start all the way back at the very beginning. How did it all begin?
You know, Dave, I was in high school. I was taking all the college required courses. I was taking physics and chemistry and biology and geometry and trigonometry, all the things. So I was mixing with the thinkers, so to speak. And about that time, Time Magazine came out with a special edition. On the front it said, God is dead. I didn't even know he'd been sick. And here they are telling me that God is dead. Well, I didn't, of course, pay attention to it. I knew better because even as a teenager, I had wonderful parents. They made sure I was in a wonderful revival atmosphere, and I had seen many great things from God. So I really walked with God, and I loved to witness to my fellow classmates. Well, it really sort of threw me back when I started witnessing to a young man one day, and I said something about God, and he said, I don't believe in God. I said, well, the Bible says this, this, this. He says, I don't believe the Bible. I thought, oh my goodness. How do you witness to a person who doesn't believe in God, doesn't believe in the Bible? Where in the world do you start? And it was somewhere during that time that it sort of dawned on me that if I could take the prophecies of the Bible, I was somewhat familiar with the prophecies, but didn't know them very well. It was still pretty much of a mystery to me. But if I could take the prophecies and prove I'm talking about prophecies given 2,000 years ago, 2,500 years ago, and prove that they're coming to pass accurately and in detail right now. I could prove the Bible is true. Not only that, the Bible's supernatural.
Right.
And then it will automatically follow there's a God because the Bible's full of the information. Mm-hmm. If you got a supernatural book that you can prove is supernatural and it tells you there is a God and tells you all the details about him,
right.
Now you've got a foundation to work with. So that is what originally drew me to Bible prophecy, because I didn't even know the scripture at the time, but Jesus said, I learned this later on, Jesus said, I tell you these things before they come to pass, so that when they do come to pass, you might believe. Well, that's just what I was doing. I was teaching the prophecies and then telling people, you know, when they saw them come to pass, now you've got a basis for your faith. You don't have to just have blind faith. Blind faith is really a bad thing. That's right. What causes people to follow Jimmy Jones and Adolf Hitler. Jesus never asked us to have blind faith. He simply said, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, but these are they that testify of me. Well, anyway, so that's sort of where it all began. However, there was a young lady came into my life that upset all my plans. I was planning on staying single till I was at least 25. I was going to go out and evangelize. I could give myself totally to prayer and all that. But I met this girl from Bloomington, Indiana, named Judy. Mm-hmm. Well, as soon as I met her, just within a few days, I thought, she's not like all the rest. I got a feeling that I better watch what I'm doing here, because this may be my destiny. Well, I don't have time to tell the whole story. It's an interesting story. Matter of fact, if I tell it with all the color I normally tell it with, I might get interrupted. But anyway, we went together for a while. I went as slow as I could because I was pretty young when we started going together. But finally, I knew it was right that for us to get married, and we did. We got married in 1965. Well, I was working with the Insurance Company of North America at the time as an internal auditor. But all of a sudden, God starts eating on me to go evangelize. Mm-hmm. Now, I was happier than I'd ever been in my life. And miserable at the same time, if you can understand that. I was so much in love, and I had the girl of my dreams. And yet, I had this gnawing, you got to quit your job, you got to go evangelize. Now, I was 19 years of age, just 2 months away from being 20. And so I made God a promise. I said, okay, God, if you want me to do this, you give me one revival, I'll quit my job and we'll take the plunge. Well, I got this man called me, never asked me to preach for him before. I wasn't out there preaching much. He called me and said, would you come up and preach over the weekend? We went up, preached over the weekend. He said, would you come back and hold me a revival? I said, yes, give me 2 weeks. I went back home. I gave my 2 weeks notice at my job. And then we put everything we owned, which wasn't much, in a storage place, turned in a notice for our apartment, and we got in our 61 Rambler American. Now, if you don't believe that's a fancy car, you've never seen one. It's like two matchboxes, big one on the bottom, smaller one on the top.
Right.
Anyway, Judy and I got in the car, and we headed out for our first revival. We are now full-time evangelists, and we got one revival scheduled. Well, now, it was during this time I couldn't shake this hunger for prophecy.
Right.
It was about that time that Dad had a preacher preaching for him. He was a powerful, powerful man of God, one of the most powerful men I'd ever been around. But he preaches on prophecy one night and preaches that the four beasts of Revelation 4 are Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And I said, what? But he didn't give any proof, no proof, just said it. Like,
right.
I say it, you should believe it. Well, I wasn't exactly turned that way because in school they taught me in geometry, you prove everything step by step by step by step. And I was sort of an inquiring mind like that. So I began to dig. Well, I end up reading the book of Revelation through 19 times. Now, I'm just brand new married. And here I am. I read the book of Revelation through 19 times in 30 days. And when I first started, it was like the book of Revelation was succotash. You know, I mean, you got beast and you got women riding on the backs of beasts, and you got horses, and you got beasts with 10 horns, you got beasts with no horns. And I'm trying to say, what in the world is all this? But I knew that was God's word. I knew that much.
Right.
And I knew God put it in there for someone to understand. And I was so hungry to understand it. So I began to search.
Right.
So, and then for the next 8 years, Judy and I held revivals around the country. And God blessed. It was amazing because before that revival was over, I got a call from someone else.
Right.
And when that one was over, I got a call from someone else. Mm-hmm. And that went on for the next 8 years until the last year I was evangelizing. I could only hold 6 or 8 revivals a year. We got 35 invitations that year. I mean, I had more places to preach.
Yeah.
God just blessed us with wonderful blessings. Mm-hmm. And of course, while we were evangelizing, I saw miracle after miracle, people getting saved, their lives being straightened out. It was a wonderful school for me.
Yeah.
At the same time, I watched God move. Well, during all this time, I would study during the day and preach at night. And we had real revivals back in those days. I'm talking about 6 days a week, Tuesday through Sunday, and twice on Sunday. So here I am, just going on 20 years of age. I've got to preach 7 times a week. There are veteran preachers
right. That
wouldn't want to face that kind of a schedule. So I'm over at the church every day on my face begging God, what do I preach tonight? And he would always give me a message. And I would get up and preach, and I didn't even know why it worked, but it did because God told me what to do. I did it. Right. And half the time I was operating blind. I didn't even know why it was working. Anyway, so that's the way it all began.
So at some point, in studying all these beasts and 10 horns and horses and all that, something had to click. So in heading into not knowing what God was going to do to you eventually, what was your first big prophetic discovery? What really got you going? Just boom, it clicked.
I believe we were in Starks, Louisiana. Mm-hmm. And Starks is a little teeny town of about 300, 350, but they had a big church of about 500. Anyway, by then, Judy and I had a trailer. It was 8 feet wide and 29 feet long, and that's the outside dimensions. And that included bathtub, bed, sofa, sink, refrigerator, closets. So really, we had a path is what
sure.
we had. But we were so happy because we knew we were in the will of God. Well, so we were there at Starks, and I would go over to the church to pray. And by then, we had one child. Carla, our oldest, and I would go over to the church to pray, and I would open the Bible, and I would read the prophecies, and I would pray, and I remember in particular laying in the pastor's office on my stomach with my Bible open under my face, mm-hmm. and I was reading Daniel 7, where there's 4 beasts, a lion with eagle's wings, a bear, a leopard, and I didn't know what it was. And I had read a commentary that said the lion was Babylon, the bear was Media Persia, the leopard was Greece, the 10-horned kingdom was Rome. But then I read the next chapter, and there's a ram fighting with a he-goat there, and it says the ram is Media Persia, and the he-goat is Greece. They said the lion is Babylon, the bear is Media Persia, right. the leopard was Greece. But I get over in the next chapter, and there's a ram fighting with a he-goat, and it said the ram was Media Persia, right. and the he-goat was Greece. And I said, wait, the commentary says the bear is Media Persia and the leopard is Greece, but the Bible says, well, I had to decide whether I'm going to believe the Bible or the
exactly.
commentaries.
Yeah.
I've been having to abide by that decision ever since. Anyway,
yep.
That's what happened. And so when I realized this was wrong, even though all the commentaries said it, mm-hmm. I thought, well, I wonder what these are. So I went back and found out that all the beasts of Daniel 7 had to be on the earth at the time of the second coming. And I thought, whoa, because it says so with the context. Mm-hmm. So if all these, and it says there the beasts are nations, you don't have to guess, it says right there no. The fourth beast will be the fourth kingdom or nation on the earth. So I said, okay, the beasts are nations, and they all have to be on the earth at the time of the second coming. Now I started getting excited because I thought, you know, if I can prove they're on the earth right now, then I can prove that we're in the era of the second coming.
Right.
But could I do it? So I went back and I thought, lion, why does God use these beasts? Lion, bear, leopard, eagle. So I just decided one day to look up the word lion in the dictionary. I went to Webster's Third International Dictionary, opened it up to lion. It said, the symbol of a country, Great Britain. I said, this is too easy. And I thought, could it be? And then I went to the next beast, and the next one was a bear, and I knew that there's a major nation today whose symbol is the bear, mm-hmm. Russia. Well, then I looked back at the lion again, and I saw the lion had eagle's wings. Well, now I knew there was a nation who assembles the eagle. That one was the easiest of all because it's on the back of my dollar bill. Mm-hmm. And the eagle's wings were growing out of the lion. Now, if Great Britain's the lion and the eagle's wings grew out of the lion, where did America come from? I knew that much. We came out of Great Britain, our mother country. Mm-hmm. And then the prophecy said, I watched till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was made stand up on the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. Declaration of Independence. I'll never forget the day I left praying and studying and went over to the trader where Judy was. I said, babe, I think I found the United States in the Bible today. So I opened it up to Daniel 7. I mean, us two young, very young people.
Yeah.
And I showed her. And she said, boy, it looks like it, doesn't it? Now, that wasn't a big confirmation because I was pretty well able to convince her, whatever. I convinced her to marry me after
right,
all.
Right, right.
So I was pretty well able to talk her into things. Anyway, but she said, it looks like it doesn't. By the way, since that time, she's my number one proofreader. I always pass stuff by her before I do anybody else because guess what? I hate to tell you this, but she'll tell me the truth, even when I'm wrong. Mm-hmm. So anyway, so that was the first big break.
Yeah.
When I saw the United States in the Bible, and then after that, I saw the four horsemen, the apocalypse, and God helped me to understand what they were. And it was so clear, it was unmistakable. Mm-hmm. And then one thing after another, after another, after another, started happening.
Right.
And I mean, the revelations were coming so fast, I got used to it. I mean, it was just common. I was learning new things all the time, and they were so accurate and so real. And then one day, it dried up.
Right.
And I said, God, I went almost a year, nothing. I said, God, what's the deal? I thought maybe I'd backslid. I said, God, what's the deal? You're not showing me anything anymore. And it's like he spoke to me and said, I'm not going to show you anything else.
Yep.
Because I didn't show you this just so you could sit around with your thumbs and lapels saying I know more than the average person does. I showed you this to share with people because the world needs to know what we're talking about here.
Right.
Well, that led me to another huge project.
Exactly. The next, I know which project you're going to talk about next, and it was the year that I graduated high school, 1986. And this next project is the very reason we're celebrating our 30th anniversary this year. It's the writing of your first book. So I think everybody is going to want to know the details of what went in behind the very first project, because it's where everything really came together. And it's an unbelievable story. So,
well, before I tell everybody that, I want to tell everyone something else. This is our 30th anniversary. So mm-hmm. What we'd like all of you to do out there is, if you're not a partner with End Time Ministries yet, for everyone that will become a partner for $30 a month, we're going to give you a very special gift. And Jana, why don't you tell people, you know more about this than I do, actually. Tell us about it.
This is the documentary that we created showing how we produce the Understanding the End Time series, which is the foundational series of the ministry. It has 14 lessons that give a person that knows nothing about prophecy a very good foundation on what we teach on this. And it is a 28-minute documentary on how it was made, the workings behind the scenes. And for anyone that wants to become a partner for $30 a month, or if you'd like to give a one-time gift of $30, this can be yours for free. But it's an awesome inner workings of how we created our foundational prophecy series, which is originally was Understanding the End Time Level 1. And in 2010, we recreated it to just understand at the end time.
Okay, now, one more thing I want to add. If you're already a partner and you would raise your partnership $30 a month, of course, you get this free gift as well. Mm-hmm. Listen, partners, you're already so wonderful. But we just thought, since this is the 30th year, I mean, I can't believe it. I'm not even hardly that old. Well,
you
I'm stretching
that. You have a grandson that was 29 today.
Okay, so. That is true. Well, anyway, if you'd like to have this, give us a call. The number to call is 1-800-END-TIME. That's 1-800-END-T-I-M-E. Mm-hmm. 1-800-363-8463. And why not celebrate 30 years of miracles here at End Time. Absolutely. It has been marvelous. Okay. Well, Dave, let's get back to the next question for me.
The first big project that we started, 1986, launched everything. And tell us how all that came about, because I know it's a miraculous story. It really is.
Well, I had been trying to put some of this down in a book, but there were three things I hated in school. Mm-hmm. I hated speech, I hated history, and I hated writing. I hated writing. And so now I'm trying to
write. Why did God call us to do this? Because those are the same three things I hated. Are we being punished or what? I don't know.
Well, I think God's trying to show us that we couldn't do it by ourselves.
I think you're right.
I think he's... Right. Anyway, but I knew I had to write, and I had people saying, you got to write all this stuff down, because I was teaching it.
Right.
But they were saying, you got to write this stuff down. It's not available anywhere. And I would try, and then I'd get stalled, and then I'd lay it aside for a couple of weeks, and then God would eat my lunch about it, and I'd go back, and I'd do it again. But I wasn't getting anywhere. But God really turned up the pressure. I felt like I had this big foot in my back saying, you're going to get this done. You got to get this done. And I'm not showing you anything else until you do.
Right.
Well, I was starting to get a little desperate. Finally, I looked at Judy one day. I said, babe, I've got to get this book done. And the only way I know is just to get really, really desperate. I'm not saying you should do this, but this is what I did. I said, look, I made up my mind. I will not eat another bite of food until I finish this book. Well, she looked at me, and just to show you what a wonderful partner she's been, she said, I'll do it with you. We'll fast together. Mm-hmm. You write, I'll type. Now, no computers back in those days, no word processors, none of that. We were typewriter and pencil. That's what we were doing. So we went to my office. I sit at my desk. I wrote. And she was across the room, and she was typing. And we were working. And, you know, I discovered a marvelous principle during that time. The hungrier you get, the faster you will write. And I was getting hungrier and hungrier, and I was really getting serious about this writing thing.
Oh, yeah.
Well, in the meantime, Judy's across the room typing and pounding it out. And on the 12th day, I put the last period on the end of the last sentence. And she typed the last sentence. Mm-hmm. And she looked at me and said, let's go eat. So anyway, I don't even know what we had to eat that day. But anyway.
It was good, whatever it was.
When you fast 12 days, everything is good. Even sardines might be good. But anyway, that may be a stretch.
I don't know.
But anyway, that was when the first book came out.
Right.
Well, there was one special thing in the book. And I had seen that the Berlin Wall was going to come down. Mm-hmm. Actually, I've got the magazine. Disregard the art here. And somehow Jane Fonda got on this magazine. It's a Life magazine, March 29th of 1968. But the thing that caught my eye, I'd gone to the bookstore that day. It was Hobart, Indiana. I'll never forget it. And I saw this article, 3.5 superpowers will rule the world. And it says a provocative proposal by George W. Ball, former Undersecretary of State. Well, I bought the magazine because I've been studying Revelation 13, and it looked like a world government to me. But I thought, we're not even close to there being a world government. And when I see 3.5 superpowers to rule the world, I bought the magazine, and I did. I went straight home. I read it through. I actually took it to the pulpit with me to preach from it within a day or two, because in this magazine, he was proposing what I saw in Revelation 13, when all the powers of Daniel 7 would merge into one beast in Revelation 13. It would become the kingdom of the Antichrist. Well, in this article, George W. Ball was saying, we live in a time when there's enough nuclear weaponry to destroy all human, plant, and animal life off the earth 25 times over. Today, we probably can do it 125 times over, but you only got to do it once. So I read this, and he said the only cure is for the superpowers, and he had 3.5 of them. He had the United States, the European Union, and at that time, the Soviet Union, and his half power was Japan, because Japan was very strong economically. He said if these four powers would get together and say, okay, no more borders change. If you go to war, we're going to make you go back to right where you were, so there's nothing to gain by going to war.
Right.
And he said, that's the way we need to do things, because right now, the way we're doing things, little third-rate powers can suck the superpowers into confrontation, and we're going to destroy the world. And so he outlined 3.5 superpowers to rule the world. And I've got to tell you one thing, because in this article, he had a particular item. I think I have it marked here. The item said, division of Germany is the most dangerous of situations. And then discussing the division of Germany, because right then the Iron Curtain was going down through the middle of Germany and the Berlin Wall was through the middle of Berlin. Mm-hmm. And in this particular article, let me see if I can find it for you because it's so important. Listen to what he has to say. Aside from the China problem, divergent purposes with regard to Africa and Asia should be manageable, listen, because each side can afford to give elbow room to the other outside Europe, where the division that festers like a rusty knife wound must someday be healed. Mm-hmm. Well, Revelation 13, 1 through 3, it talks about this seven-headed beast, and one of those heads was wounded to death, and the deadly wound was healed, and the whole world wondered after the beast.
Right.
And here it's talking about the, and I knew what those seven heads represent.
Mm-hmm.
And four of those seven heads represent Germany, the First Reich, Second Reich, Third Reich, and Fourth Reich.
Absolutely.
Wow, can you believe time has flown? Let me tell you one more time. If you would become a partner for $30 or add to your partnership in the amount of $30, we have this documentary on the production of Understanding in Time. We believe it is probably one of the most influential prophetic works in the world.
Right.
So call us right now. The number to call, 1-800-IN-TIME.
Join Urban